There's too many Home Alones, there's too many Tremors, but I like to watch them for Rotten Treasure.
Hello, welcome to Rotten Treasure. We watched X-Men First Class. I'm your host, Jim O'Donnell. With me, as always, is the other host, Kai Bobby.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Kai. How are you?
I'm okay. I am sorry I coughed over your hello.
Okay, I'll be fine.
Can I offer you an apology, Werther's? Would you like a Werther's?
I don't have one on my end to do this bit. Let's just bring in our guest. I'm not even going to...
Well, you're not going to even try to do a segue at all.
I'm not going to try to do the segue. So we've got two friends of the podcast who have been on separate episodes, but now they're together. Well, on the pod... It's Bill Rick and Elena... Oh, fuck. I forgot to remember Elena's last name.
Okay, I'm going to... Hold on. Let's make Jim sit in this for a minute. You're not going to tell him. How are you both doing?
Dude.
No, I'm just kidding. No, no,
no, I'm saying two.
Elena Hunt. So
there you go.
Ego. Yeah,
I want to give it to you. Thank you.
It's like I'm like Cher or Madonna, you know? It's or Britney. It's just like
I'm
just
the other Elena.
Bill Hunt and Elena. That's actually my brand now. So thank you for that.
That's how I feel about my cat Harrison. He used to be named after like different, like Harrison Ford and George Harrison, like a combo of that. And now he's very much so like a Madonna situation. It's just Harrison.
Right. He's made his own. Exactly. And yeah, I respect that.
You just got to take it. So honestly, I think I might just start being Kai. I'm going to drop the Bobby. I'm done. Just straight up Kai.
Just Kai.
Yeah. Welcome. I'm going to take it. I think I'm going to take it. No.
Elevate.
No. Thank you so much for coming back. I hope you're excited to talk about this movie because it sounded like you had some hot opinions about it. Yes, no, maybe.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Actually, before you give me that, I would like to know what is your individual relationships with the X-Men franchise, if that's okay.
You go first.
I had seen the first one. Like the first Wolverine-y one, maybe 20 years ago. So really not a lot. Really not a lot. So this was kind of coming in a little bit cold. So I did have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I've been like a lifelong big X-Men fan. I was into like the cartoon as a kid, and then loved the first two, like X-Men, X2, X-Men United.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got to them a couple years after they were in theaters though.
Okay.
And then I was just like, I love Wolverine. Like, I've just always loved, just always thought he was really cool. And so I always had, like, Wolverine stuff growing up. I was very lucky that way to have Wolverine
what kind
stuff.
Of stuff.
We're talking T-shirts. We're talking.
Oh, I think I meant, like, the hands.
No,
oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, he has straight-up claws. Like, he just was going around.
Yeah, I had adamantium.
I paid a lot of money.
Growing up.
Yeah.
They did have, like Hulk hands, but they were Wolverine hands when we were kids in the 90s.
Was they foam, if I remember right?
I remember them being plastic.
Okay. Yeah, I remember those.
Some little brothers are getting some scratches.
Some older sisters are, because I had an older sister.
Ooh, even
go
better.
Go for it, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And then speaking of Wolverine, I think my peak early fandom came when X-Men Origins Wolverine came out. I was so hyped for that movie. You couldn't stop me from seeing it. I got a work print of the movie like a month before it hit theaters that just had none of the special effects in it. It just had like a lot of graphics, and it was a torrent, so I downloaded that, and then like...
Why would you want that?
That's the way to get it.
Because it's still the story. It's just like...
Just none of the effects.
Yeah, it's just none of the effects. And since then, I've caught up on a lot of the comic books, and currently I'm a Marvel Unlimited subscriber.
Ooh.
Which let me go back and read the X-Men First Class run of comics from 2006.
Oh, shit.
We're coming at it from two different places.
Yeah,
that's what the crux of this is.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. It's just a quick question.
Yeah, I have a few, too. Go ahead.
You saw Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine without the special effects and went, you know what, it's time to get back into X-Men.
I'm not gonna lie, I was a little bit let down by that movie. You know, it was that weird thing of being like young and still not feeling served. Like I was like, I know I'm supposed to be in love with this regardless of what happens, but I still feel kind of disappointed. And I think part of it was Will I Am. Part of it was they kind of dropped the ball with Ryan Reynolds in that movie.
Will I Am?
Will I Am is an X-Men Origins Wolverine, but we're not here Will to I talk Am. About that movie.
Will I Am is a pretty big part of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
We should check it out.
We will have talked about that movie according to the audience. Like the listeners will believe that, but yeah, we haven't recorded that episode. We still have to do that.
Well, I will listen to that one.
Yeah, we'll listen to it.
I still have to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it in preparation for this episode, but.
Nice. Well, Jim's actually always watching them in order. I never do. It always works out that I just watch them in the most chaotic order. I don't even know. This one's the fifth one. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Great.
Cause there's three, then, Wolverine, and then this one.
So yeah, I think, I don't know which Wolverine is actually even after this. Isn't there another Wolverine?
Yeah. There was another Wolverine where he's in Japan.
Came out, I think it came out the next year. Let's make sure that's correct.
How many more do you think we're going to be able to get out of Hugh at this point? Because, like he just kept coming back. Even for this, they were just like, sure, just do a little tiny thing. Thank you so much.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. No, that was fine. It's fine. It got a lot.
I got a pop out of me in the theater.
Yeah. No, it's good. There were many a times where I kind of was like, not as invested. That one got me. I was like, all right, now back to the movie. Cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. I was like, what other puns are we going to get in here? Who else is going to show up? No one else.
Do you think go fuck yourself is a pun, Kai?
No, it's not a pun. Sorry. It is, actually. I want to break down how it is.
No, if he had a Canadian headset, go fuck yourself.
That would have been good.
They love hockey.
He's Canadian.
I do remember seeing Wolverine the movie.
The more I know.
Wait, Wolverine, the character, is Canadian.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman is Australian.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
The character's
There's no
Canadian.
Debate about that. Yeah, okay. No, but
I'll debate it if you want, but I won't.
Lives in Canada. he's got his own Canadian ex of the Great White
this
North.
This is wild.
Oh my God. We have to watch that, Jim. That's definitely – no, I'm just kidding. No. We have, there's like – there's so many.
I assumed that meant a comic book line, whatever you would call it. Storyline? Storyline. That's a Canadian X-Men, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no Canadian. Mercifully, there's no Canadian X-Men movie.
And Jim Carrey and
just keep pushing.
Let's see if I can name a second one.
Don't give up. I mean, did they ever do like a Red Sun movie? Did that ever happen? It's Red Sun is Superman, but he landed in Russia.
The Russian one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they ever did that, because this feels like it was basically like, yeah, I wonder if these will be like Disney Channel movies. Like they'll like throw them out there. Or like the Disney Plus movies, maybe. They might happen. We just got to yell about it on the internet enough.
An animated one on HBO or something. That's peak America being like, wouldn't it be so fucked up if Superman accidentally was
it
Russian?
Hear me out. To be in the boardroom on that, I mean, comic books are not something I've ever really gotten into. I do have two compendiums of The Walking Dead in front of me that I haven't read in probably like a decade, and that's like the last time I read any comic books, and even that, I was just like, I don't know, it's just like, I don't know how to explain it. It might as well have been am I going to really dog on The Walking Dead? A daytime drama. It was more of just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Page turner, page turner. Sure. Yeah. It was like that for me. I don't know why. It was just stories. It was just easy stories. Yeah. But I need to get back into
If you like that universe, though, there's a new set of stories set in The Walking Dead universe called Clementine, and it's about this young girl named Clementine, and they're phenomenal. Different. It's not Robert Kirkman, the guy that made The Walking Dead, but it's set within the world of Walking Dead. So it might be another comic book you might get into. I don't know.
I should just go back, do this one more time, and see if I'm amped up for more Walking Dead world. Because I did, I want to say, like, when I think it was during the pandemic, I did go through all of The Walking Dead. I think it was sure. I mean, like lockdown was just like sure. What are we gonna watch? And I'm pretty sure that was when I watched all of that. And when I say watched, it was just in the background.
That's where that show. Yeah, that one's.
There's a lot of episodes where nothing happens. It's just no movement. But I feel like that's later. There was a lot of good in the beginning. I did enjoy that, that's for sure. I remember being someone who was standing on top of their couch a lot yelling at that TV. I was like, no, you do not. Do not kill Glenn. Actually, I think that was mostly when I thought Glenn. Spoiler,
oh,
everyone.
Yeah.
Glenn's dead. Yeah.
I there was a pretty famous story of him leaving the show, so kind of assumed.
About 6 years ago.
Yeah. This movie, though, did you have thoughts on this one as you texted us about how much you had opinions on it?
You used bold. I believe both of you used bold. Bold of text.
Well, this was, to segue, I feel like, unlike The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. where nothing happens, a lot of story in this 2 hour and 11 minute movie. Like, we paused it. Like, I was figuring there was maybe 5 minutes left. And I was like, okay, I just need to pause it and just breathe for a sec because so much has happened, especially mm-hmm. coming into this with no prior knowledge of the X-Men.
Yeah.
We had an hour and 15 minutes left of the movie. And I just had to, like, take a couple deep breaths.
Holy shit.
Do a couple laps, you know? Yeah. Just like, okay, I have to think about everything that's happened.
We weren't even close to the Bay of Pigs yet.
Oh my gosh.
I think I stopped at about an hour and 15 as well and took a minute. Yeah, yeah, so that's wild.
You need
yeah.
a breath.
It was, yeah, I was like, it's 2 hours and like 10, 15, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched half of it too, and then 2 days later watched the other half. So we all watched it exactly the same.
I'm not going to lie, I did realize once again, because I watched this on a DVD, I can do 1.5, and at a certain point, it's like, all right, we got to move some of this.
That's pretty sweet.
I feel like it's such a slap in the face to actors, though. It's such a dick move. And honestly, the only times I really don't feel about it was Land Before Time. I don't give a fuck. Those hour and 10 long, like, movies needed to be, I honestly wanted to turn it off after 5 minutes. They needed to get it. It's insane. Oh, never again. Never again.
Tough to watch. But yeah. No, it's so much story. And also, a lot of, I would consider, niche X-Men knowledge needs to be had to watch it as well. Because there's a lot of people that they, like, will linger on a shot of a person. You'll be like, is that an important person? Yeah. Are they someone I should know? Is the person who has wings an important comic book character? Or is this, like, someone later?
Yeah, what were you taking?
Cerebro sequence.
What was it?
Cerebro sequence where Professor X is like mapping out all the other mutants in the world.
Yeah.
You see like a tiny Storm. Like, yeah, you have to be familiar with Storm to give a shit about that.
But
at
as
all.
Somebody that wasn't, I wasn't like lost by it. Like, it wasn't like so like inside baseball that you couldn't follow it. It was still like manageable.
For as dense of a movie it was, it handled.
You can say for as dense as you are. Yeah. Where was this going?
Yeah,
nice. Go shit, girl.
Yeah. All right, I'll I'll just clip that right together.
Please, no.
I'll put a commercial right now. I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna get you canceled.
If you could put that as Bill's quote in the
even. Girls. it was a very dense movie, but the story was told economically at the same time. Like, it was really, there's nothing dragging, except for every moment that Moira McTaggart's on screen.
I'm terrible at actress names. I know I'm on a movie podcast and I'm the other host.
No, that's even worse. That's the character's name. It's Rose Byrne's character. Rose Byrne is the actress.
I struggle, Kai, because you're supposed to know the actor's name, the character's name, and then they all give themselves new character names, and they all have a power, and you're supposed to remember four things about every single person for the story to make sense. That is so much information.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that what's like top of the list? Has you being like, I'm going to need a minute.
Yes, just like my brain needed time to just like process.
Okay.
A little brain break.
No, that's real. Honestly, for me, because I barely watched these. I knew only a few of that they were tossing me something. So I was in between both of those.
Okay.
No, for sure. Oh. But I was like, oh, that's cute. This is how you get your names.
The CIA.
Yeah.
You might have said it while I was looking it up, and I didn't realize it. Okay. Yeah. She was necessary for the plot, but they didn't really give her much to
not
do.
Not for the story, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, 100%.
It was a plot-heavy movie, but the story is just Charles and Eric, and why they come together and why they drift apart. And then there's like a whole lot that gets in the way of that. And I feel like Kevin Bacon's character just serves as kind of like a, almost a MacGuffin. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, no, he's a thing. They do it in like Spider-Man 3. He's like a random extra villain for no reason. Who was the last one?
Yeah.
It just, you're like, what? Okay. I mean, granted, he's there the whole time, but you're just like, this is sure, I guess.
Sandman.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be like the moral ambiguity between the two of them. Yeah. However, he is also a Nazi, and they weirdly have the good guy be like, no, he was just following orders. And we're like, that's some Nazi talk, if I've ever heard it.
Did not expect this movie to open with Nazis. I was thinking X-Men, oh, it's going to be like fun, like pew pew, like comic book stuff. And it's Poland 1994.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? I was like, well, we're okay. We're in.
Yeah.
And then,
that's what I remember.
That's in the first X-Men movie. They literally took the footage from the first X-Men movie and put it right there.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I remember it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because what you want to do when you go to the movies is see the other movie in the movie. It's see another movie in your movie.
Yeah.
Do the Leo DiCaprio meme.
Oh, wait. I want to go to a movie every year that has a little bit more movie within a movie within a movie. Can that be a thing? Are there nesting doll movies?
Yeah,
it's called Fast X.
Is that a real movie?
Yeah.
Okay, it's dead, so that makes sense.
Apparently the most recent Fast and Furious movie was like 20 minutes of clips of other movies.
Great.
But not other Fast and Furious movies. It's like Meet Me in St. Louis.
Yeah, exactly.
10-minute sequence.
Yeah,
the whole number.
They just showed the entire clank, clank, clank goes to the trolley sequence.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like when you're on Netflix and you're scrolling through and it plays like a 5-minute clip of the movie instead of like a trailer or something. It was that.
Yeah.
Just Vin Diesel going through his Netflix and was like, ooh, The Sting.
I mean, if our Patreon supporters will eventually vote on Fast and Furious, then I'll know. But until then, I'm not allowed to watch these movies. That's just the rules. I can't. I'm not allowed to.
You gotta respect the process.
Yeah. I don't know. I just made it like really today. I don't know if I've been keeping it as like a loose promise, but I don't do it. Like, I know that I'm gonna want to watch it again later, and I know that sounds weird, but my brain is like, Kai, live your life. Only watch movies from now on, only once. Like, I don't know why, but I don't know. I don't often double watch movies anymore.
Yeah. I did have a weird moment where I own the first Rambo movie, and I've never watched it until recently. And I was watching, and I was like, oh, there's a possibility I might have to watch this for the podcast. Oh, God, I'm going to have to watch this twice, aren't I?
Even though
the first Rambo movie is like, it's pretty good. It has a story versus some of the later ones, apparently.
We did Santa Claus 3 on Ross's podcast, and we're like, fuck, I'm going to have to do that again, probably. I mean, we could just not put it on the list, but no, I don't want to talk about any more Tim Allen from now on, unless it's Toy Story 5, which I think will happen.
So. Have you seen the Santa Clauses on Disney Plus?
I don't know if I have it in me. I don't know if I have it in me. Is it okay? Is it good?
No, it's very AI wrote this, like very strange.
We watch it to make ourselves feel better about ourselves as writers.
Oh no, that's not good.
It's wild.
That's not the kind of content we need. I don't go on
Gabriel Iglesias.
Who?
Fluffy.
Gabriel Iglesias?
Yeah. Isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like him.
Hey, everybody, Kai Bobby here, the other host. What are your thoughts on Gabriel Iglesias existing in the Santa Claus universe? You know, let us know. RottenTreasurePodcast@gmail.com. Cool. And speaking of Gabriel Iglesias, let's Gabriel Iglesias our asses into this commercial break.
It's 8 a.m. on Black Friday.
It's 2:20 p.m. on Black Friday.
It's 12:30 a.m.
5 p.m.
9:50 a.m. on the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
This is episode 1 of 53 that we are recording back to back.
18 of 53.
26.
34.
40.
51.
52 of 53 that we are recording back to back.
Welcome to Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Jim.
I have a feeling of whimsy during the winter seasons.
Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Joe.
I grew up liking sports, loving sports and athletic figures and things like that.
Talkin' 2024
2024 with Noah and Olivia.
This is the only beach I'm going to give a 10 out of 10.
Talking 2024 with Noah and Mo.
For me, it's the middle of Halloween season because I've already started several weeks ago.
Talking 2024 with Noah and Carrie.
I like to make things, and I'd like to know what kind of things are you making.
We're talking February 25th through March 2nd, 2024.
With our guest of the hour.
With our guest of the hour.
With our guest of the hour.
So specific things about this Olympics is that there's a new sport.
Like, nobody plans ahead for a solar eclipse.
Can I make a prediction about Venom 3? The first thing we want to do is get to know you and how you move through time.
The more you sleep, the faster you get there.
I also like to make decisions very quickly. So like, if I'm shopping for a car, it's the first car I see.
I manage my calendar entirely out of my notes app.
Are we putting hexes on people?
Oh yeah, we can. I didn't bring any candles.
Producer Tom jumping in. I went home a little bit early yesterday and came in a little late today. And in podcast time, I just took off like 3 months. So
yeah, we've got one more and then I get to take like a 2-hour nap.
I don't know if he actually does have a .com after his name. I don't even think I do, actually. I think I lost it. I got to get it back.
And that was like a big thing, wasn't it? Do you remember when people used to like gift
domain names?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. I would love a BillRick.com.
I'm sure you can get it.
That's okay. Yeah, available.
Yeah. Our like opener, like our trailer is literally us talking about how we didn't have RottenTreasurePodcast.com, which we still don't. And instead, Jim... Jim may or may not still have cumminmythroat.com.
Yeah, I have cumminmythroat.com, and I just got billed for giveyoursocialsecuritynumber.com.
Yes.
I keep forgetting. That's awesome. That's how you get that, like, indirect traffic.
Incredible. Yeah. So Jim's going to be committing crime soon. Not yet, so you can't arrest him now if you're listening.
Is it another podcast then? Whoever has RottenTreasurePodcast.com now? Is it another?
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna need more podcasts, Jim.
I think it's somebody who listened to one episode of your podcast and said, this is commercially viable.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy the domain now, wait for them to blow up and then charge up.
I could quarter the market on upwards of 20 people.
Jim, also, you never see
BillRick.com, it's available.
Yeah.
$12 a year.
Dad doesn't get it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's actually not bad.
It's actually not bad at all.
Yeah, that's why I will sometimes like just take a. I'll think of a URL and be like, "That's pretty funny. Let me buy that," and I'll never do anything with it because it's $1 a month.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun hobby.
Honestly, but better. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Magneto.
Oh no.
Is Magneto.com available?
Magneto was right. www.magnetowasright.com.
Okay. Magneto.
Okay, but we actually did get into that debate.
Yeah.
What? All right, please go in.
the whole thing is Magneto and Xavier.
Yeah.
And we found ourselves taking sides with each of those characters. Bill was very much an Xavier guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, Magneto is completely right. Like, so that was kind of interesting. Like, that's good storytelling to be able to have, not just like a black and white, good and bad. Like,
I've been in my mind thinking the word bronomy, because it's like not frenemy, but they're bros. They're like, that's the whole thing. They're very clearly.
I like that. Yeah.
They're very clearly, that was their whole deal. Was that I love you, I hate you. There's a little bit of that tension that I like.
There was a little bit of sexual tension at the end.
A little bit.
When Eric jumped on him in that plane.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, so X-Men is about being gay.
X-Men.
It's about being Jewish. It's about being black. It's about being anything that's ever been othered. And there was a really I thought it was – I was moved by this when Charles Xavier meets Hank McCoy, a.k.a. Beast, and outs him.
Yeah. That's rough. Yeah. That's rough. Yeah, that's fucked up. Oh my God! Actually, this is literally an allegory that I've used to discuss this with my family. So yes, X-Men is perfect. I love that there's literally you gotta love content that you can just be like, yeah, I kind of feel like this, like it kind of sucks because that can happen. You kind of gotta blend in. The ones that can't, oh man, that fucking sucks. That's a thing.
The second movie,
Nightcrawler's never gonna pass.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was that?
The second movie literally has a coming out scene. Sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
Oh, no
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, there was some beautiful, like, nuance in that I didn't kind of expect, and, like, big allegorical kind of, like, discussion topics that I was like, oh, this is actually
especially
very interesting.
When Xavier, like, Charles and Eric were having that conversation in front of the Lincoln Memorial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did Cena do say it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because their idea, they are Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Charles is MLK and Magneto's. So to like ground it, at the reflecting.
Go.
Very powerful way to make that metaphor, pop a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but also hashtag bronomies. Yeah. It's kind of, it's fucked up, but yeah, that is a thing where you're kind of like, yeah, I hear you so fucking hard, but I'm going to go this way on it. Oh my God. These movies, I feel like, are going to mind fuck me up in a very different way than Land Before Time did. definitely, that's for sure. Is there 13 of these again? Is that what we're doing, another 13 run?
The Land Before Time movies, they fucked you up because you believe in creationism, right?
I've been meaning to talk about this on the pod, actually. it was just like one of those things where I eventually was like, I hate these kids. I hate everything about them. And I don't know, I just got sick and tired of apologizing to people and feeling bad that they wasted their time to watch that. We gotta comb through our list again and just get rid of things that are more so torturous, just mean.
Yeah.
I guess that's nature of this. Someone's gonna get a fucking torturous garbage.
James Knight came on for one of them and he went, I watched like 5 minutes and was like, I'm done. And then didn't watch the rest. And we were like,
you're good.
We commend you for trying those 5 minutes. Thank you so much for coming on.
I love and respect James Knight.
Respect that. Add that to the list.
Chief among them. Yeah.
I don't think it's written in the thing that I usually send like a little like bullet point. As you've seen before, I don't know if it says like, if you don't even want to watch the movie, that's okay. Because I've literally shown up for episodes that we've recorded where I forgot to watch the movie. So that's fine. That's totally fine. Future thing to note, yeah. Tell me more. What also were you thinking? What kind of also mindfucked you in this movie?
Tits! There's so many tits in this film. Okay. This is not something I always talk about. So there's not one female character that doesn't take their clothes off at some point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
None of them.
Yeah.
And I know it's 2000 and, I mean, it's not relative. When was it?
2011.
Right, that's 2011. Too recent for this to be like, times are different. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when Magneto to Jennifer Lawrence to Raven, the blue one, when he's like, oh, Tiger never hides her stripes, get naked. Mm-hmm. And then she's like naked in the kitchen and her brother's there. I'm trying to eat, put your clothes on. And then she's like, no, I'm beautiful. And then spends the rest of the movie in the suit. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that was there other than just teenage horny boys to be like, everyone has their boobs out the whole time.
I think you got it. I think they knew who they were writing for. You're 100% right. Yeah.
Even Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah.
She shows up for 4 seconds. She gets them out.
Which one's Rebecca Romijn?
When Raven, a.k.a. Mystique, is in Magneto's bed, and he's like, oh, no, I want to see the real you. And then she goes through, like, a cycle of...
Oh, yes. Okay, that's what it was. We're trying to think of the name.
Rebecca
Romijn. Yes. Every single female character has their clothes off at some point. And then the fact that they had to CGI big diamond tits for the diamond lady,
for January Jones? Yeah.
Yes, for January Jones. I was like, that's just the world, that's someone's job, that they're like, oh, I went through grad school to be a CGI artist, and then their job was just to make big diamond CGI boobs for January Jones.
Here's me, though. Here's the counterpoint. It's fucking sick.
You're like, hear me out. Just vision me. Just,
yeah, but also like...
Boss movie.
No. Oh, my God. No, this movie, I don't know what it is. When you guys told me that you were going to come in with hot stuff, I don't know what it was, but, and like had feelings, but this movie was one of the ones that, I guess this is going to happen, for all the franchises too. I relatively kind of tuned out a little bit. I don't know why. Jim usually can explain it to me. Jim, where's the lulls?
This one is a little strange in that the messaging of it is very heavy handed. It is very, like, says it directly. It does have some weird stuff in which, the weirdest thing for me was the Nazi sympathizing. But I think the reason it was lulling for you was it's a very plot heavy movie. So a lot of scenes are, we got to set up this thing for the next scene for you. It's for something to happen kind of thing. So that can be why it was like that. I remember when I saw this in theaters, I loved it. I was like, yo, cool, a good movie.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this time around, I was like, it has some problems, but still, overall, pretty good.
It's got to be a perfect storm of catching my attention span, but also I feel like sometimes when there's like too many one-on-one conversations in movies, I think I struggle. I need stuff that's like movement, what's going on? So like when they had the like all the, the younger crew like being like, who the fuck are you? Like, what do you do? I was like, I'm in, what are we doing? Who's that? What is everyone? Can we get some more people? What do they do? I'm always stoked to find out more mutant powers. That being said, there was some absurd ones in these. What's with the devil guy? Can someone explain why you get a mutation where you just become
Love
the devil
guy? That guy was cool.
What the fuck is
A question that I'd like to ask, is the Tornado Man ever named?
Jim, that's your job.
The Tornado Man named?
I don't know. What's his role? To just be like the silent, mysterious tornado boy? Like, is that what he is?
That tornado guy, his name is Riptide. However, the very first thing in this says he is a silent member of the Hellfire Club. So there's a good chance that the only reason that people know his name is Riptide is because of the comic.
Okay.
And I get that, but that there's no reason to not be like, that's our boy Riptide.
Yeah.
right.
Just like, let me know.
Do you think he got paid less on Lactor if he doesn't speak?
Ooh. Yeah, that's a great question. Absolutely.
Usually, yes.
But he had to do his own wind stunts.
Did it run really quick?
That kind of made up for the difference.
I don't know what it is, but today my phone decided to tell me how much Steve-O used to get paid for stunts, and I said, sure, I'll find out. And I guess in the first Jackass, he got paid like $200 for like each time he didn't do like anything physical danger, but each time he did like a dangerous stunt, which I think was like physically pain. Like I think stapling his ass was like $500. I don't know if I'd be like, yeah, let me do that. I think they were trying to pay him to put a car up his butt for $500. I think.
Ryan Dunn did that instead.
Right. Yeah. Great. Yeah. No, thank you. I don't think that's a $500. When's rent due? What kind of car are we talking about?
if we found out that mutants were real, Steve-O would be at the top of my guessing
list. Oh, that would be so great.
He'd be the leader. The leader, for sure.
He'd be like a Hugh Jackman kind of situation because he doesn't age too much. I would like that actually. He's actually aging exactly like the real Hugh Jackman.
I don't know. Have you seen Steve-O recently?
No, what's he doing?
He's slowed down a little bit, I'll put it that way.
He's healthy, well, and he looks like
sober.
Shit.
No, yeah. He looks good. He looks how he should for his age, and he's happy.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's mostly what my phone has been showing me, so I'm like, okay, that's good. But yeah, no, he's the video also just definitely went on like a lot of times where it's just like, all right, cool. I think he even did like an intervention prank during the times in which he needed an intervention. There's one where he's like he does like a clown, because apparently Steve, he went to clown school. I learned a lot about Steve-O tonight. I didn't know that.
France, right?
Yeah.
No, never mind.
Oh, I was going to say, the famous thing about him is that he went to let's find out where he went to clown school.
So I would actually think that would be great. I don't know what it is, but I need Steve-O to just pop up in more movies with cameos. There's a horrible Netflix movie that I regret watching, but Steve-O showed up as himself and gets killed. Like, she gets just shot in the head, and it's such like a small part. He's like, all right, Knoxville, come out. Where are you? And then just gets shot in the head. And it's
incredible.
It's so good.
I want Matt Damon doing any more cameos. I want Steve-O replacing him.
So dumb. I don't know.
That's what we can do with AI. We can pick who's in our movies.
Steve-O? Yeah. Honestly, if you made a rule where, look, we're like, we'll yield with one actor, you can have Steve-O. And Steve-O's like, sure, man, go for it. By the way, everyone, I'm sick, and that's what Steve-O sounds like. Sure.
Spot on. Absolutely uncanny.
Yeah, dude, I swear I'm never going to go hungry again. That's Steve-O and Gone with the Wind. So Steve-O went to clown school in Florida. However, he was...
France of America.
He was born in London, so yeah. Possibly you're thinking of that.
Huh. Speaking of England, Charles Xavier is, becomes a professor at Oxford, and that's where Ellen is from.
Yeah, that bar that they were in, I know that one very well. But that kind of made me hate Xavier a little bit from the offset, because there are a lot of, like, pretentious, posh Oxford grads being dickheads in that bar. And so I already, like, internally had a bit of a chip on my shoulder, because I was like,
let me ask you this. What? Is his, like, pickup line, was that, like, accurate what an Oxford?
I don't go to the bars that students go to. But yeah, there was a lot of that, like, dickheads. Professional. Yeah, exactly. So already I was like.
So you joined the Brotherhood of Mutants just because of where Charles Xavier went to school.
Yes.
That makes
exactly
sense.
That.
No, that
also,
makes sense.
Accents, on the same branch of accents, why Jennifer Lawrence, where did they grow up? Winchester or Westchester?
Westchester.
Why does he still have an English accent if he grew up in America? Why? As boy in Poland, why does Eric have an Irish accent? And I know it's because Michael Fassbender is an actor and he's not such a good actor yet in his career that he can not have to have a dialect coach. But the accents were distracting to me. Rosemary, I can tell you're Australian. Like, it was just
a lot of accents. Always.
You know?
I'm
going to
be honest. I also noticed that, their accents, which is pretty bad.
Yeah.
If me as an American goes, that's not a good English accent.
That's pretty bad. And you know it's bad.
I can't keep track of which person has which accent. I think I've said this a few times on here, actually, unfortunately. But I'll repeat it to anybody who's just listening for the first time. I thought David Tennant. One time I was watching a thing with him. I was like, wow, he has a really good Scottish accent. I was like. Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure that Scottish man does have a good
accent. It turns out that's how that works. But no, I think for the most part, my brain has gotten so frustrated with it, it no longer hyperfixated as much as it. But I feel like, I do improv. I can't keep an accent for an entire fucking, 5 minutes, let alone an entire movie.
That is true. But, you know, the income that we get from improv and the income of these mega millionaire super actors.
No, it's unmatchable. I mean, I wish they could make as much as we make. I really do. Honestly, I've been donating and donating and donating.
I'm going to Venmo Michael Fassbender after this, because he needs it.
Everyone, please send your money to Jennifer Lawrence Venmo. No, don't do that. Don't do that right now at all. Jim,
she has more money than me, so I'm not going to give her any more money.
No, it's
I'm only going to give her money through the movies that I watch with her in them, because I do like Jennifer Lawrence in movies.
Me too. I like her too.
There's a link to it in our bio, actually, and it goes to our Patreon. Check it out, everyone. No, that's how I'll do it.
I have a weird opinion about Jennifer Lawrence that I want to share, and I want to see if anyone feels.
Go for it.
Sometimes I feel like Jennifer Lawrence, the person, has a bigger personality than Jennifer Lawrence characters.
Absolutely.
I think you mean all the time. A lot of the times on the internet that my phone shows me. Let's put it that way. Because honestly, other than that, I don't know Jennifer Lawrence.
Again, this is coming from someone. I like watching her movies. I like watching her in movies. But oftentimes, I'm like, yeah, but I know that the real you has like a bigger personality than this. And it's weird seeing her subdued in a movie.
I do know what you mean. Yeah. And I get, like, logically, I'm like, yeah, of course she's acting. That's what the character is like. But I know what you mean. You're like, ooh, do a shot, fall down, be relatable.
Yeah, trip over something. We all know you're clumsy.
Yeah. You're like Katniss.
I would love that from Mystique, actually, like in the middle of transitioning, like just tripping. And they keep it. They're like, we'll keep that in the movie. No, that's good. We love that. Please.
It's kind of like I want a movie with her where she plays closer to her real self than a character.
Is that new one that she's in, like a romantic comedy where she is hired to date a young man?
I think she filmed that a long time ago. It's just come out. I think it's one of those weird ones they kept in the back burner for a while, you know?
But apparently it's funny.
I Netflix, once again, it wants me to watch things, but I also don't watch a lot of movies anymore because I save it for this. I
get that though. You must have to watch so many.
Make a franchise.
I'm down to one. I mean, I think I'm literally
the person. Yeah, just in case no hard feelings gets three more of these.
Yeah,
no hard feelings. That's right. Thank you.
I will only do movies if there's three of them, at least. That's where I'm at right now. I mean, I rarely actually do watch a movie. I just watch shows. I'm a very shows person. But if somebody does say, hey, Kai, watch this movie, I go, do you know me? And then if they do, then I watch the movie. Yeah. But,
that's fair.
Yeah.
We got into a debate yesterday about, like, which power it would be the best one to have. And I think objectively there's a correct answer, but I wanted to hear what you both thought. Of the ones on display, which do you think is the best power to have?
I would not want to be able, well, for, I don't know why I'm going in this one first, but immediately I'm like, I do not want to be in the head of anybody. I do, like, that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Funny because the whole movie I was like, man, January Jones is just a better Charles Xavier.
Yeah, she kind of is.
She has the same power, not as strong, but she also can turn to diamonds.
Yeah, be kind of indestructible. She wouldn't have got shot in the back. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's just going to sound really lame. I just don't want anything really destructive because I'm a klutz as well. Like, I would be like, oh, shit, I lit that fucking barn on fire by accident because I also trip a lot and, like, bang my elbow and shit. I don't want to be like, oh, no, I turned, you know, like, whatever. It's not – Yeah, I'm trying to think of the tame ones. Like, I guess I can turn stuff to ice, but I don't want to freeze anybody by accident.
I think that the teleportation, I think that that's your best power.
I mean,
because he doesn't have to be dropping people from the sky. You can do like, oh, I want to go see a Broadway show, but I want to pee in my own bathroom halfway through.
No, I do like that, actually. That's really good, yeah. You don't have to do, like, the save my seat. Actually, you do. You still do. It would be really fucked up. Unless you got your buddy who freezes time, then you're good.
I do like you picked a Broadway show.
That's a good duo.
Yeah.
I like you picked a Broadway show as if the sound, because all the teleporters make sounds when they do it, so it would be very distracting in the middle of a Broadway show to hear, poof!
Hamilton!
Nightcrawler's Banff. It's always like, in the comics, it says B-A-M-F.
I thought you meant the movie Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, and I was like, isn't the whole thing that he's quiet? Why would he come in? Okay, there's a character called Nightcrawler. That
Nightcrawler,
makes sense.
He's the Alan, no?
Yeah,
Alan Cummings.
Alan Cummings, yeah.
Alan Cummings in the
X-Men.
His fight sequence is one of my favorites that we've watched so far. I remember loosely the dude running around and moving bullets in the one we're gonna watch. I think it's Future Past, right? It's in that one, I think. Silver Skeeter, but he's a person. What's his name? Silverman.
Silver Surfer.
Quicksilver. Thank you. I'm terrible at keeping track. I'm so sorry, Bill. I don't know these. Thank you so much.
No, I'm not one of the types that's like, how do you not know that?
Oh, I'm terrible at keeping track. I had to look up like a bunch of powers. But yeah, I remember that was also a beautifully shot scene. I just also wouldn't want to be able to do that. I think it's fucked to be able to stop time. Be like, no, I don't want you to have the same relationship with time as everyone else. Is that how that works? Like, because everyone else keeps going, not around you. Or are they freezing?
Do you age then?
I don't know what's happening. Yeah.
Are you just getting, like, older and older, and all your friends are just, they can still do probably also.
They're taking life from them. Minutes are happening, yeah, in that case. Because they're still aging, but that's less time that they're going to have to be able to have a reality. Because reality is a collection of, you know, what you remember.
I don't think it's like that.
That's too much moral, ethical, like,
it's so fucked.
Have to do.
Yeah, you're
welcome
right.
To my brain. Welcome to my brain. I was thinking about that the whole time. No,
I want to be the lady that makes clouds.
Sign me up. She's so fun.
So you want to be wacky weatherman. Got it.
I would choose Charles Xavier because even though he can read minds, even though he can communicate without speaking, even though he can freeze time, he understands that true power, the greatest power of them all, of course, friendship.
Right. Compassion. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's only through the trust that he builds with the other X-Men that they're able to succeed as a unit.
If that's your favorite part, you should, like, go and coach them. I feel like if that's the best bit for you, then you could probably get that in your real life. If you're not that worried about reading minds, you could probably achieve that. K-moment.
Well, and now, folks, Bill is storming off the set.
The funny thing was, Bill, I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say, you know, you could just be like the spike guy who has spikes all over him and also believe in friendship.
Yeah.
No, but Hank? I think that his powers are useful for diplomacy between mutants and humans, because we're all thinking, oh, my powers in a vacuum. Look, you might have these powers and then one day you're discovered and the entire human race is waging a war against you, and you'll need somebody like Charles Xavier to be the representative to speak to your needs in front of like Congress or something like that. You need a Charles.
And awkwardly, the person who can best understand what everybody wants is sadly, in a really messed up way, someone who can read your brain. Like everyone's. Like, that's a really absurd thing to be able to do.
Yeah.
Could you imagine going into like Congress and reading everyone's brains and being like, so here's the deal. You think when they say this, they actually mean this, but they actually don't. You actually mean this. Like, you just actually, this is nuts. We need Charles Xavier going in and doing facilitating conversations.
Yeah.
We need that dude in that job. Cause
mediator.
It is like the great power comes great responsibility. You're making me realize, cause I'm a klutz, I also wouldn't want a lot of ones. I'm like, oh, that's a thought I'm not supposed to hear. Oops. but it's juicy. Oh, what? Who hates who? At your restaurant? Okay, never mind. That's not my business.
Yeah, I guess there is a good philosophical part of that. I guess I want to be Toad. I like his tongue.
Wait, you just want to hop around a little bit? That's what you want?
No. I don't know. If I were to actually pick one, it's probably Magneto or... I'm going to be honest, I know that a lot of X-Men is all about how much this power sucks, but Wolverine's healing ability is fucking sick as hell. I watched the first three after having gotten my wisdom teeth out, and I was in a lot of pain while watching them, and the entire time I was just like, boy, if I could just heal these up right now, that'd be so nice. That'd be so good right now.
Yeah.
That's it.
That would be sick. However... he's the loneliest.
Same, though. No.
Am I wrong in thinking Nicolas Cage in another universe could be Wolverine?
No,
you're not wrong.
Incredible.
That would be amazing.
That would be incredible.
It's in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Well, I want like I want another bromance kind of movie between the two of them drinking themselves to death in Las Vegas. Whatever that movie is with Nicolas Cage, give me a sequel.
Leave me Las Vegas. Jackson. I want to let Bill and Elena, both of you know, Kai has brought up Leaving Las Vegas the past 5 podcasts, and every single time they go, what's that movie where they're like leaving Las Vegas? I don't know what it's called. Anyway, he drinks himself there, and I'm like,
it's Leaving Las Vegas. Welcome to 5 Degrees of Leaving Las Vegas. I will bring it up. It's inevitably that or 9/11. Those are going to, that's it. That's the things they're going to talk about.
It's going to come up. I would love, just as Sebastian Shaw, Kevin Bacon's character in X-Men First Class, infiltrates global geopolitics to create the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, shit.
I would love an X-Men movie where a bad guy does 9/11.
Oh, they, like, write that into the history.
Give it
30 years, so I think that's probably...
It's like a pilot being like, I don't know what's going on with this plane, and Magneto's on the ground
Oh, no.
I mean, they did it with the Bay of Pigs, which was almost a 9/11. And they had a guy going, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to shoot a bunch of missiles over there.
How did they get off that island at the end? How did they get off? They had all the missiles coming towards them. Mm-hmm. They reversed them, went back, and then cut to the next scene. There's so much explaining to do. How did the entire world's military all be like, okay, that was weird, let's go home? No, that wouldn't happen. They keep on shooting. And how did they get off the island? How?
You gotta think about all their abilities combined. Someone's got to, the sonar shit gets to, like, push air and water. So I'm sorry. I'm actually thinking about this.
Oh, I like it. No, I'm genuinely curious. I want the theory.
All right. Who else we got with their abilities? I mean, like, first off, telekinesis is good because then you can think about what everyone's thinking about doing and you can stop everyone from building shit they don't need to or thinking about shit that's unproductive.
Unless Charles Xavier wasn't thinking anything other than I can't feel my legs because that's all he could tell.
Fair.
I'm going to be honest. I remember I saw that scene in theaters and even then I was like, this is ridiculous the way they did this. This is really silly the way he's like, aw, man, my legs. Out of nowhere, he gets shot in the back.
They wrote it last minute. I feel like there was, like, got to be alternative endings other than this. Yes, no, maybe.
They were like, how do we put him in a wheelchair? And someone was like, oh, no, just have, like, the CIA lady shoot him or something. I don't know. We just have to have – it just has to happen.
True. It's like Samuel Jackson's scar. Just you have to like just show it to me at some point. Just I need to see it. And if you don't know that reference, I don't even remember what it was in, but I think it was.
That was bad when they did that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those just like sure, here it is. Because I think it was an end credit. It's actually what I think is.
Is that a cat thing?
It was a cat thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one it was.
It was Captain Marvel.
I ruined it for
Marvel,
everybody.
Thank
yeah.
You. Stop.
Yeah. We're going to ruin the whole Marvel universe. If you're listening to this and you don't give a shit, then keep going. Because, I mean, that's our job is to, I think, ruin every sequel, every one out there as possible.
Yeah, The Sixth Sense is the bad guy was Bruce Willis all along.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
I don't know what happened to that movie.
And Rosebud, Skywalker's dad.
Is that true?
No.
I believe you.
Oh, that's crazy, Bill.
Rosebud was Charles Foster Kane's sleigh from his child.
Okay, who are these people? Because I'm terrible at names. Help me out.
Citizen Kane.
Got it. Never seen it.
An old movie. It's so boring. Never waste your time.
Sure.
Watching that many movies. Just
appreciate
take that one off the list right now.
Okay. I'm too busy watching Steve-O get shot in horrible Netflix
movies. There you
movies, go. So, yeah.
There you go.
Citizen Kane does have a sequel though, and it's called Modern Media Monopolies. Get a load of these Paramount and Warner Brothers merging, am I right?
Oh no.
I think my favorite thing about Citizen Kane is, Bill, last time you were on, we talked about this. It has a ton of.
Why is so big in Citizen Kane?
No, it was.
It comes up.
We talked about how 80s horror movies have a ton of special effects that like you can do, like at home kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Citizen Kane has a weird amount of special effects in it that, like, you can do at home. There's tons of scenes where, like, I watched the commentary with Roger Ebert one time, and the entire movie is just him going, like, all right, you notice how that hat was shaking? That's because the camera went through a table, so they had to put together a table really fast in the background, and that's why that's why you can see that hat shaking. And it was like, oh, shit. They did have to do a lot of things because cameras at the time were enormous and just couldn't go through a room the way that they can now.
I'm always insane.
Yeah. I'm impressed by like I haven't seen it, but I'm always genuinely impressed when you like get like the behind the scenes like for I don't know, I guess my phone also has been showing me that it knows I want to keep watching that too. Where you're like, "Oh, they did this in like one shot," or like those scenes where you're just like, "What? This involved like 20 people. That's insane." Turns out, yeah, a lot of work.
Here's one you might not know. They for this movie at the end they actually severed James McAvoy's spinal cord.
Sure. No, for real. No, that makes sense.
So that he would know what it was like to not be able to feel his legs.
He's such a good actor.
They were like, okay.
So you're
pretty
gonna
fucked up if we just like put this, you know, able-bodied man to have take a role.
That's a big debate.
Yeah.
I mean. If it's acting, honestly, the thing that he did that bothered me the most in this movie is just I think he acted poorly in a lot of these scenes. I think he really just he just showed up and was like, sure, what are my lines? Because they were really flat a lot of times.
Yeah, he was kind of forgettable. Yeah.
I think that kind of goes back to what Elena said was I think he struggled so much with an accent that he forgot to put emotion into his lines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I completely agree. You can see his like just like, oh, I said it like the dialect coach told me to. And cut, rather than like, oh, I'm acting and I'm giving emotion to the scene.
Exactly.
It was bad. There's a couple of lines that we were like, oh, that's what you
Fassbender brought it, though. He was. I thought he delivered a dynamic performance.
Fassbender.
Yeah, Michael Fassbender, who played. Magneto.
Yeah, no.
I thought he was.
Oh, he was like, I'm getting this fucking award. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm showing up. And if anything, there were some times where I was like, okay, dude, like, I'm gonna need to turn my TV off. You need to calm down. I will say I love a good overcry. Like, just he really went in on that. Like. Fucking that, what do you call those little cell signal tower?
Tons of things.
When Charles Xavier was like, remember your menorah?
Yeah, remember all of your pain. He just was like, all right, I can do that, no problem.
That is what happens.
remember Hanukkah.
He does, then he just turns around.
Remember that, he's like, eight crazy nights, and then Magneto's able to do a satellite.
Was this movie just like someone letting a bunch of their like nephews make a movie and they just like did a bunch of scenes by themselves? No, sorry. There's a couple of them that are just like, who like let this happen?
I love that as a key demographic to someone's bunch of nephews. That's $10 million.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know, more boobs. Let's do more boobs.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, if you put
teenage boy.
If you had an infinite number of nephews, eventually they would write X-Men First Class.
As the theory goes, I don't even think you need infinite. I think you need about six, and you're gonna get this movie. That's definitely what happened.
That's kind of like how I imagined it—a team of like six. They all look relatively the same. I would like five of them to be a quince, and then one of them to not be. You know, just one outsider. I don't know why I'm building this.
Well, even real. Like even the actual actors that they cast, like so undiverse. They're all American. Like there's one person of color, Darwin, and then 10 minutes later he's dead. Oh. Which also, just a nitpick. His power is to adapt to the situation, adapt for survival. So when he's about to be killed because someone put fire in him, why can't he adapt to survive the fire? I don't understand. That was his whole talent.
Oh, I thought it was just water.
I had so many different problems. No, it was adapt to situations.
I think he was adapt, I didn't adapt know to that. Survive, yeah.
Okay, I got that wrong.
She was the first one dead.
He was
the
like,
only
if I'm in Boston, I'll root for the Red Sox.
Exactly. The problem I had was in that scene, again, there is one person of color in that scene. And the bad guy goes, well, you guys don't want to be a part of the CIA where you're enslaved. And then it cuts to the one black person.
Yeah. We caught that. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And then it says that he doesn't have any dialogue. It just cuts back, and it's like that's a very strange edit.
Especially for a movie that's like otherwise completely ignoring the civil rights movement, which would be happening concurrently with the events in this story. Like,
Oh yeah, because it's the 1960s.
At no point is he like, wow, it's nice to not have that be a factor in how I'm treated.
Or like.
And, like
it's like 62,
I think. Yeah,
60s.
Yeah, they never address it.
It's so weird. And it almost screams like the actor didn't know that they were going to make that
cut. Yeah.
They're like, we're just going to do a pickup over in your face. Like, that's okay. And then they edit it in. I could see him being there like, what the fuck?
yeah, you could see him on his face. Yeah, it's a very strange choice.
I awkwardly did for some reason look this up earlier. Yeah, it's based in 1962. Primarily. Yeah, that checks out.
It's bizarre. Which is also bizarre because they definitely make them 1967 people. they all are, they're all dancing to like late 60s music.
Really?
And yeah, they have very like, we're like what people in the suburbs think hippies are.
I looked into it because I was like, surely, when they're in the scene, they're all getting to know each other, playing it. The song is Green Onions by Booker T and the MGs.
Yes.
It's also known as the baseball song from Sandlot.
Yes,
and
I know that song
it
you're
was
talking
63.
About.
I thought it was a much later recording, but it was from 63, so it could have existed at the time.
It could have existed. Yeah. One of them's blue. We're going to worry about which music they're playing. One of them's giant feet. Why would that be where you're like, this could have happened?
Because it's a movie about mutants, so my suspension of disbelief...
stops at Nick Hall's giant toes.
Yeah. Also, character design
for Hank,
for Beast, in the movie is silly.
Yeah, no. It is like I'm going to Comic-Con tomorrow. It is. It's gonna. I'm so excited for Halloween now that I'm 19. It is not.
Well, they spent all the budget on his monkey toes for the CGI. Yeah. So they were like, "Sorry, Beast, we have to just like give you kind of whatever we got left over."
They got the guys from the Jumanji, who did the boy, like
the boy.
Yeah. Oh my god, it looks just like him. Yes,
but like made him a bit cross-eyed too.
Yeah, but then he has his glasses on. But then when he's flying a plane, he doesn't have them on.
See, that's where your suspension disbelief begins and ends.
You may be blue, but you don't have your glasses on.
They also did the cop-out thing of whenever there's a werewolf in a movie, but the werewolf isn't the main character, they'll be like, he's transforming, and then it's just like a glass shatters on the ground or something, and you stay with the glass instead of watching like him transform.
I quite like that, though. A lot on the CGI feet, I agree with you, Jim, so I probably didn't have a lot of budget left over.
I want to see him become a big blue fuck.
Yeah.
And then Jennifer Lawrence and Nick Holt really did get together on the back of this, so that's weird that they were, like, the two blue characters were, like,
but
really
she kept
chemistry.
Making him wear the makeup the whole time.
Wait, oh my god.
Like, I'll do it, but you gotta dress up.
They were. I think they were. I think they met on this movie, and then they were together for, I think, for a couple of years, for a while.
Put on the mask.
Like,
oh, sorry.
Right?
I would love it if they did at least a few
times. I
want to
see the real you, and it's just Jennifer Lawrence making him put on the Beast head.
I feel like you got to do a scene at least once. You can't. You can't not. You got it. I don't know. Don't DM them and find out. Don't go to jenniferlawrence.com. Once again, go to the... it'll only go to our Patreon. Link in the bio. Please.
Weirdly, JenniferLawrence.com goes to MagnetoWasRight.com. That's so weird.
You know what it was? I'm leaning towards that way only because he was a better actor. That's what it is. That's why I was like, I'm more interested to listen to this guy, whatever he says. I love that they did parallel that, though, I think, because that was in – I feel like that's going to be the case in a bunch of these movies. It was in the second one. They were like, "Do you join us. Who's going to join this team? Who's going to join this team?" That must be like a regular thing throughout X-Men. No? No?
Yeah.
We're drafting people.
There's two ways that you like mutants are kind of because they're inherently outcasts. They're looking for a place to belong, and are they going to find that place in Charles Xavier's School for Gifted Children, or are they going to join the Brotherhood of Mutants?
What do I get to? Do I get to travel a lot when I go the other route? I don't really like the vibes of that school. I'm going to be honest.
No,
I don't really. Yeah,
I'm Magneto. Team Magneto.
Can I live off campus?
Magneto's kind of crazy.
Yeah, there's off campus housing for upperclassmen.
Okay. Well, I would have room with Magneto just to keep it interesting. I feel like, I'm into that. I would love it if he actually got an apartment off campus. Like, and they were like, "Fine, you can live there. We're not allowed inside that on campus."
He's like Donald Sutherland in an Animal House, where he's just like the cool teacher, but he smokes weed and sleeps with the students.
Is that what we need? Is an X-Men Animal House? Will they do that, please? We don't need Animal House anything anymore. But but I do want kind of like a Monsters Inc. camp, like college level thing for X-Men. Is that what New Mutants is? Is that what that's?
I don't know.
Yeah, but nobody saw it, so there's shit's in the woods.
I have no idea. As far as I understand, it's just going to be like, and these are the younger ones who do it now.
And the tree falls.
Yeah, tree shit's in the woods.
Tree shit's in the woods. Magneto is in Animal House.
I've said it, and I'll say it again.
What about the iron in your blood? Sorry, I'm just thinking about Magneto's powers. Could he control the iron in your blood?
Yeah,
did he really?
Yeah.
No,
they did that.
In which one? In which one?
Second, I think.
Oh, amazing.
I think it was
Whichever one he was under arrest, he spends his entire time.
Pulls it out of a guy, security
and
guy.
And he pulls all the iron out of a guy's blood.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, I want to see that one.
It's pretty gnarly. So far, that's my favorite one that we've seen. The second one is, I think, the one that kept me engaged the most.
Good. Because I'm with you on, like, the one-on-one conversation thing, Kai, that just, like, I just zone out. And as soon as they start to, like, come together and do the powers and stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm in.
It's also the conversations were a lot about global politics, which is inherently like a, all right, just get me there. Yeah.
I mean, am I really that terrible that I also just want, can you give me the explosions, please? Can you give me people spinning stuff around and throwing stuff at each other? I just want that. I want people throwing stuff in the air and then doing something that counter does it instead. They're like, no, put that down. And then they put it down.
Yeah. That kind of like big puns.
Fight on top of the Statue of Liberty.
Does that happen in one of them? Oh, cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken,
that made that,
of metal.
Made
a
if I'm not mistaken, Wolverine used his claw to just completely spin around a pole or something. No, what did he do in that movie?
He cuts up the Statue of Liberty's dress, and then she goes,
that's right. Yeah. That's what it was, yeah. Can they need to make a campy version of these, which I guess is what Deadpool is supposed to be. It's like extra, like, kind of how do we, yeah. But I would... Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm excited that Hugh Jackman gets to lean into it even more for this one. I hope he has a good time. Yeah, it's got.
You've been on about this one.
Yeah,
it's gonna be something. I don't know if I'm ready at all because they've been talking about this for a spicy second. That's for sure. Yeah, I love all the leaked photos because I love that I actually am on the team of people who actually don't know what is real. Like I've only seen just enough to be like, okay, Mickey Mouse might be there. Cool. I get it. That's fine.
It's in the public domain.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
But it's also a Disney movie.
That makes sense. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I forget that they do.
They're all Disney movies now.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a subscriber to Disney Plus, everything is a Disney movie now.
Do they have Disney late night? Are we there yet? Like, how much random shit do they actually have gone to?
They did try to make a Muppets late night show.
Like a sexy one?
Not really. I mean,
what's
like,
late night?
Unless Sweetums does it for you.
I was already ready to pitch, like, the fucking like, Muppets. Like, that. Like I don't know Muppets. What we're going to call the Muppets.
You should watch Meet the Feeble.
Feebles, what's that?
It's a like a way pre Lord of the Rings Peter Jackson.
Oh,
it's like his Muppets
movie where they all like yeah. It's after I think there was like Brain Dead / Dead Alive, and then
yeah, I was gonna say there's Meet the Feebles, Bad Taste, and then like Brain Dead Alive.
Thank you.
That's what I would think the order was.
You can't say that. You're just making me think of Meet the Teetles instead, and I can't. That's too much. And R.I.P. Paul Walker. Because that was, if anyone's ever seen Meet the Teetles, it's kind of up there. It's like before, it's a level of tomfoolery that was Dude, Where's My Car? It was like pre that, but just around some idiots that work at Yellowstone. It's something.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought you said Meet the Beatles, and you called Paul McCartney Paul Walker, and I was like,
no. R.I.P. Yeah. No, Meet the Deedles. I'll put it in the show notes, everybody. It's one of those ones. I think it might have even been a Disney movie, but it's where me and my idiot friend Donnie Ninepins, Donnie, got the idea that you should sit on a skateboard opposite of someone and put your feet on their skateboard, and they put their feet on your skateboard, and then you go down a hill recklessly and survive. Because that's what teenagers is like. Yeah. The audacity of my stupid childhood, the things we did. I used to free climb granite rock because why not?
I bet Steve-O's doing that right now.
I was Steve-O. Actually, Steve-O learned that shit from me. I used to do all those stunts. Yeah,
you taught him everything he knows.
No, I definitely thought I was going to live forever, though. I definitely did some stupid shit.
Oh, which God, you were a professor at Ringley Brothers Clown College? So weird.
No. You do know actually what I was doing. No, I don't. I wouldn't want to be a professor of anything. That's not something that's not my job. It's nope. I think it's about that time. Am I wrong?
No, it's about that time. Okay.
I was like, I can't keep track of things because I think I'm unable to see that well because my computer's being a pain in the butt. But yes, do either of you have anything that you're like, oh my God, we need to talk about? If you have a final note, please talk to me about this movie.
Oh, what would you? What can we do? Like a letter grading?
Oh, sure. I like this. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, we should start offering our guests to close out with a rating scale of their choice. So, yeah, what would you like the scale to be?
A letter grading.
Okay. Oh,
with the scale from from A to F, like grade.
Or it could be, how many mutant genomes?
No, I like the letter grading. Okay. I like the letter grading. That's
okay.
That's,
Just A, B, C, D, or F.
Just for the promo, I'll put like different claw marks in relationship to each one or something. I'll find
a
different.
Yeah.
Like that.
But yeah, no. Oh, geez. Okay. I shouldn't go first. No, maybe I should go. Who's a person who's heavily influenced by other people and their ratings of stuff? Cause I'm always like, yeah, totally bad movie.
I'm so susceptible. It's a miracle that I haven't been indoctrinated into a cult yet.
Try me.
Yeah.
Try me.
Oh, yeah.
Psychology, come to me.
Oh, what do you think pyramid schemes for me. I've almost been pulled into two. I don't know what it is, but people are like, come here, Kai. You look like you could be asked, do you like something insert? And I'm going to be like, yeah, that sounds great. By the way.
Life is my life. Yeah.
I have finished a movie and gone, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about that. Let me check IMDb.
All the time.
Eight stars? Oh, it was a good movie then.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. All right. I am too much.
This is how I feel, and I will not hear anything other than
So, given that Elena is least susceptible to be swayed by others' opinions, she's still left, right?
Okay, great.
Yes. So, most susceptible to least.
I think that's fair. Bill, would you claim yourself most susceptible? And you proclaimed pretty heavily.
I'm gullible. I'm susceptible.
Okay.
Vulnerable.
I'm going.
I'm going to write mine in the chat. Don't look in the chat.
C+.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
C+.
Well, Kai, when you wrote it came up right in front of your face exactly.
Oh,
you
really?
I'm so real now.
That's why she's the B-.
Sorry, why do you mean? I was like, B.
I didn't realize it pops up on your screen. I thought it just goes into the chat. Oh, no.
It comes up right. Kai, let me show you what happened. You were like, nobody look at the chat. I want this to be a secret, what I wrote.
I'm going to be honest with you. That was actually a rating. That was a rating of Bill's rating. And that was, I thought it was a B. No, I think your rating was fantastic. A C+ is actually probably more accurate. C-. I'm a little too kind, I think.
B-. B for Bill, minus.
B for minus, okay.
Nice. Jim, I think I'll go. I don't know. Which one of us is more susceptible?
Well, considering the other day you said that I have no morals and regularly just go with the wind, I think I'll go next.
Okay. I love you. I'm so sorry.
And especially since I initially went, I'd probably give this a C. And then Bill was like, I'll give it a B-. I was like, yeah, I guess I can bump that up to a C+. So C+ for me.
And a really kind B for me, I guess. Yeah, sure. I'm always just a little extra. Sure, they made a movie. I'm proud of them. They did it.
I don't know if I was rating that within the X-Men universe or as a movie, but as a movie, C+. With an X-Men, B+. Maybe A-.
Yeah. I mean, the first one was I struggled with getting my attention right away on the first one. The second one pulled me in. The third one was like, oh, that was good. And weirdly enough, because we're not watching this order, this is the fourth X-Men movie that I'm rewatching, so I have in recent context. So, yeah, I'll still give it a B. Yeah.
Elena, what do you think? Elena, go.
There you go.
I'm going to go, I like that, it's two different grades. So as an X-Men movie, I'm going to go B. It told a good story, it pulled me in, lots of things, lots of plot. As a movie I would personally enjoy again, I'm going to give it a C+. It had some fun moments, but there was just too much story, too many unclothed boobies. And not because I'm a prude.
No.
But
no, it felt
extreme. It did. I'm sure in the late, like the more recent ones, like some more of those like characters get.
Well, if it if it
wasn't developed.
If it happens next time in the next movies, I hope it's like someone's nieces instead. They were just like, this is tasteful. This is what we chose to do. Thank you.
It's a bunch of wonderful feminist nieces.
That's what's that. There's no way they're just going to throw her a gig.
Gerwig is directing. And Hugh Jackman and Deadpool are just in like tighty whities the whole time.
Oh,
that's what feminism is.
He's hunk McCoy.
Okay, stop. I can't. Now I'm actually picturing Hugh Jackman all like, okay, never mind. Sorry. I need to.
He is like that in some
it's
of the
movies. Very pretty. It's very pretty.
Because he had to dehydrate himself a couple times. That was a big deal.
He's all veiny. Yeah. He's all like.
Yeah, he came out and was like, this was really dangerous for me to do. like there was like a there's a famous picture of him doing it for like promos, and everyone was like, "Look how fucking beat he is," and he had to be like,
"Remember he did that in Les Mis." Yeah.
He was a really good
It's like I didn't drink water for 2 days. He was like, I was on the brink of death.
You shouldn't do that. Like, you don't do that. Simply don't do that. No one's going to be like, oh, you were so good.
I think he should do it.
But you look too hydrated. No one has. Drink water. Nah. You're a millionaire. Drink water. Dehydrated. Sorry.
Anything he can do to make it good, I say he has to do it. If he has to bring himself to the brink of death.
Then you're not a good actor.
You say that about Wolverine?
I think he's a good actor, but you shouldn't have to like, oh, I nearly died. It's like when all these people play, was it the Batman guy?
Joker.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I want a comatose state just to get
Don't do that.
It's
only dudes.
Call your mother. Relax. Drink water. Go outside.
There's a famous story where Dustin Hoffman was in a scene with Laurence Olivier, and Dustin Hoffman had to be exhausted for the scene, so he ran a mile right before the scene, and Laurence Olivier said to him, have you tried acting? And that's how feel often about those types of acting.
Love that. I'm completely with Laurence Olivier. I'm like, ran a mile. Did everyone just have to wait?
There's a lot of downtime in movies. They probably were like, hey...
Go now.
You're like, Dustin Hoffman, you got 10 minutes before you start the scene. He's like, okay, I can run a mile in 10 minutes.
I've only tapped into my, like, genuine, like, real, like, frustration, like, out of nowhere emotions, I think, and pull from reality, like, really, like, once that I can remember. And it was in Frank Farrell's class. And someone asked, why don't you like my boyfriend? And I was like, well, maybe if he's in charge of the mashed potatoes, you know, at Thanksgiving, you shouldn't bring cream cauliflower like some sort of asshole. And it like came up after the scene, like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, that's my brother. Like, or my sister brought, like, my sister wasn't like brought that, but she only pranked me. Like, there was mashed potato.
Wow, so something. You were able to challenge that as a former.
Yeah, it was honestly, I don't like going home for holidays. Holidays are stupid. I like my family. I just don't like going home specifically for them necessarily. But I don't know. Holidays are weird. But that holiday also, yeah. Kind of fucked. I don't know if anyone's ever heard Thanksgiving's kind of fucked. So it always historically has been. And I'm like not really about it other than the mashed potatoes. That's what I'm like there for. That's it. And whatever my nephew says, because it's usually fucking out of left field and kind of out of pocket and not okay.
I said a line in this scene one time that was like, it was like, I don't want to be better than you, I just don't want to be worse than you. And I think, and everyone in the room went, ooh.
Good.
It's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good. No, I mean, everyone.
Kai, do you think your nephew would make a good X-Men movie?
No. I think because he would put too many fighter jets in it. He's really into fighting. I feel like it needs less fighter jets, if anything.
So he would make the end of X-Men First Class. He would just make a Bay of Pigs.
Yeah. Oh, incredible. God. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't think it would be a good idea. I think I don't think he should be a mutant. I don't think he should do that. I don't want that for him. Well, that's so terrible. As a queer person, the allegory is too much. Anyways, oh no, buddy. You be whoever you want, buddy. You be a fucking mutant. Go for it. Live your fucking life. I'm always that person. Hell, I even told a kid in an airport that when he asked, cause I was wearing a Reptar shirt or whatever, like, about like whether I can dress the way that I wanted. It's like, really? You can do that? I was like, yeah, when you're an adult, you can wear whatever you want. I'm very much the like, yeah, go for it. So whether you want to be a dinosaur or an X-Men, go for it. Get it.
Do you think our nephew would make a good X-Men?
Yeah, I do think he would.
I think Alfie would make a kick-ass X-Men movie.
Yeah, he'd make a really good X-Men movie.
Because he wouldn't get, like, bogged down the way that this one does. Mm-hmm. He would just be, like...
seven.
Yeah.
Do you think
he would have a lot of Minecraft in it.
Would he get it? Same, my nephew's nine. He loves Creeper.
yes!
Minecraft is in right now. I got him a Minecraft crossbow... Nerf gun for Christmas. It's
incredible. Glad you ended with the Nerf part. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I was like, okay, I'm fine with it shooting Nerf bullets, and a crossbow, is it functional, I guess? I don't know. Also, he got a knife. I was like, he's nine. I don't like that he has a knife. Well, his dad's like a big Marine, or not Marine, big Army Marine, you know, like responsibility. Conversation thing. I don't know.
I got a knife when I was nine. I cut off part of my finger, and I still have a scar up because of it. So
I was cutting wood at 8 years old using a hatchet, and I have a scar on my leg for it too. So there's certain things that, like, I don't know. Just let me play with my Bop-It, and that's where I should be. Like, yeah. That's what I mean.
It's
that's
wild that you don't have socialized healthcare and you're giving children knives.
You're right.
Hey.
I didn't want you to play with knives. It's kids with healthcare, but you guys don't have that in your
take that back.
We're coming back.
If it wasn't for the American military, we'd all be mutants by now.
I was going to say, there is a part in all of that that I'm coming back from the commercial break, and it's going to be very confusing for everybody. any other final thoughts for this film, please?
I actually might watch a couple more of them. I'm a bit sold, especially after this discussion, and I was like, that's actually quite clever. It's not perfect, but there's some very clever ideas in there, and I did enjoy a lot of the effects. I might give the second one a go, Kai. So that one was a good one.
I enjoyed the second one. Even if you do like a recap of the first one, yeah. I don't know if that's an insult to major X-Men fans, maybe. But if you do that, I really enjoyed X2. I probably could have started with X2 and been fine.
Cool. Good. Good to know.
If you ever want to hop into the comics, I'd skip until like volume one, issue number like 73. That's when things start getting good, and then Chris Claremont starts writing it. That's when you get like your Wolverines, your big name X-Men. Because a lot of like for the first 10 years, Wolverine's not even in the X-Men. It's kind of like it's Jean Grey, Cyclops, Beast, Angel, and Iceman. And it's cool, but if you want to jump it, I'd skip to like number 73.
Right underneath JenniferLawrence.com in the show notes is going to actually be that advice as well. I know it's not part of the promo section, but that's actually really good advice as well.
Tom Hannigan came on and he had told us about how the first like 70 issues were written by like Stan Lee, and he was 100% not thinking about civil rights activism while writing those comic books. It was whoever you just said. Who inserted that and was like, "Yeah, this is better. We're writing a good story now."
Yeah, Lee and Claremont, but Stan Lee was just trying to figure out like, how do I make it good if he's not bitten by a spider? How do I make it so there's not gamma radiation still soup?
What if they just were?
Yeah, exactly. And then they're just born that way.
How dare you? Got it. How dare you bring up something so controversial about these movies? Jim, do you have any final thoughts about this film?
Yes. There's a weird thing at the end of the movie where the CIA agent is in that debriefing. It's the very end of the movie. And she says, like, I only remember glimpses, like the sky, some trees, a kiss, and then the misogynist is like, this is why they shouldn't have women in the CIA. He's wrong. he's very much wrong. However,
no, there's so many better reasons to not have women in the CIA.
he's wrong. However, it is very weird of her to get very romantic weirdly in the middle of a debriefing. They're talking about the Bay of Pigs, and she's like, I remember kissing a guy.
I misinterpreted that part, because I thought that because we had that scene right beforehand where she was clearly romantically involved with him, I thought that she was then going back to the CIA and being like, oh, he's wiped my brain and he's a telepath. I don't know anything. Because Rose Byrne's acting is so bad, I thought that was like dramatic irony for the audience, that she was like, obviously I remember everything, but I'm pretending that I don't. And then Bill was like, no, he actually does wipe her memory in the comic books. It's just Rose Byrne's act, so.
Oh, no, not in the comic books. I just think that was the point of the
that
movie.
That was your intention.
I also don't think anybody should be in the CIA. That's me. I think it's a bad, bad club.
You got a lot of different perspectives going on for me to misquote you on, like on for. I'm really loving
take
this.
Your pick,
yeah. There shouldn't be women in the CIA, but also there shouldn't be men in the CIA. We're just people. Let's just get rid of them all.
I don't think anyone. Yeah, zero. Oh my God, Jim. Anything else? And actually, is anyone else? Sorry, before I pass it to Jim, did either one of you have anything else you'd like to say? Cool. Unlike my normal desire to tell you everything, I'll just point out that the scene that I think I did think he really phoned it in, really did a terrible job, was literally when he phoned it in, when he was like supposed to telepathically like call in. He's like, ah, damn it, she's not answering. There's something, or like if there's no one over answering. Yeah. Like he was like in the boat or whatever.
I thought he was on a Bluetooth call.
That's what I mean. It felt like he was like.
And like dang. He's holding his ear.
Yeah,
like,
what are you gonna do?
Get a hold of her. Yeah, very strange.
It felt like
she didn't pick up.
They shot way too long. Yeah. It didn't even need to exist. I don't know what it was, but that one particularly got me, and it was just like, or maybe the scene needs to exist, but that's the one that really, really, really fell flat. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll say that's it. There's it. Oh, and aren't fish tanks gross? When the guy put his fish head in the fish tank, did anyone else go, that's gross?
But he can adapt to not eat the fish poop.
That's what I'm saying. Superpower. Okay. Yep.
Oh, didn't he put his head in it?
Yeah, and then it grew gills.
I was thinking of the other one that like blew a sonar guy.
I was very happy with that scene because he was very weird to that girl, and she went, "I'm leaving," and then he went, "What if I did this?" And she went, "Yeah, I'm still leaving." And I was like, good.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I'll retract my earlier statement. I'll rescind that there is one female character that keeps her clothes on. Wow. But her only role is to be awkwardly hit on by someone who's probably too old in real life. He's got like that.
Fantastic.
So there you go. Great job. Representation.
Thank you for bringing up the sonar guy, actually, because I realized I did have a solution for getting off the island 100%. They're going to use everybody as like one big boat, and they hold on to each other. It's going to be like when what's his name? The Harry Potter actor did a Castaway movie, but it was with a dead body. I don't remember what it was called.
Daniel Radcliffe and it's Swiss Army.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to do it, but with live bodies.
Amazing. Love it.
Yeah, that's the only way I can see it actually happening.
That is part of Watchmen. Go ahead, Kai, what you were going
to
say.
No, that's it. I wanted to thank you both so much. And I want to say if there's something you want to promote, as always, it could be a philosophy, something not to do, something to do, whatever you'd like.
I'm just saying Happy New Year because it's still the beginning of the new year. And I feel like 2024 is going to be a good one. Just putting out those, manifesting those good vibes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just, I'm going to promote that people just stop getting so upset about Marvel movies because they're not supposed to be world-conquering box office bonanzas. It's just for folks like us and folks like me. And it's okay if it's not the number one movie. That's great. They're still great.
I feel like I kind of want to read more one-star reviews just sometimes, just not all the time, because it is really nuts how people will be like, "You ruined my life. I don't even celebrate February anymore because that's the month I watched this movie." I picked a really fucked up month for that to actually be the case.
This was a movie that didn't celebrate February.
That's a good review of this movie. Like,
and it just cuts to Darwin. Yeah.
Yeah.
written by nephews in a theater near you.
Written by nephews. Oh my gosh, that was the
story. This guy knows what I mean. Right, buddy?
This is where I'm going to need all of y'all's help, actually. I don't know the next movie. What's the movie that came after this?
I should have already known. Oh, it's The Wolverine.
Great.
That's what it's called, The Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one is, next one's The Wolverine.
Well, we're going to be back next week. We're going to be talking The Wolverine with Jacob Todd, returning back, actually. Oddly enough, from the last special effects movie, from Jumanji, which I probably shit on those special effects movies then as well. Or just whoever did that. I don't know what it is. That monkey boy always bothered me. It just didn't quite look
very,
right.
Very, very unsettling.
Yeah.
Mm. And he was never seen from again.
The monkey boy. I love you, Jim. Was there anything else you wanted to tell anyone here or anyone listening?
No, that's cool. You guys are all right.
Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Rotten Treasure.
And on Instagram at Rotten_Treasure.
And on Twitter at Rotten Treasure.
And go to patreon.com/rottentreasure for bonus episodes, early episode release, and a vote for the next series.
And be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review us on any of your available podcast apps.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Perfect.